There are those who love social media and there are those who hate it. There are also those who, despite kind of hating social media, understand that people are using it, and as a business, they should have a professional and appealing presence on it. I'll let you guess which one I am. Whether you're doing it yourself or managing a team who's doing it for you, the day-to-day and the constant grind of creating content can be just absolutely excruciating, not to mention expensive. Happily, you don't actually have to use every platform every single day to have that professional and appealing presence. I'm Megan Doherty, and this is The Company Show, the podcast for when your podcast is just part of the job. Social media, especially Instagram for me, has been the nut I just can't crack. I understand that it's valuable. I understand that it's a great way to connect. I've just never been able to really use it effectively, and that's both personally and professionally. I don't use Instagram that much. Happily, I've got a great team member who's able to create really awesome, engaging posts and share the things that we want to share, like the amazing guests that we have on this podcast. But it has not been a major focus of the work that we've done on social ever since we started One Stone Creative. My guest today has the solution for this problem and has perhaps even cracked the nut of Instagram. Ruthie Sterrett is a fractional CMO and founder of The Consistency Corner, a holistic marketing agency supporting service-based businesses. Her whole business is about helping CEOs step away from social media without sacrificing their visibilities because, and I feel this so strongly, most CEOs did not start a business to be content creators. And when I hear that, I say, yes, please. Ruthie and I talked about what most businesses really need from the social media platforms that they use, the key consideration that most of us don't really make when it comes to strategizing how to use them, and how to make your Instagram work for you, even if you don't want to use Instagram. Here's the conversation. Ruthie, thank you so much for joining me and all of us here on The Company Show.
Yes, thanks for having me, Megan. I'm excited for our conversation today.
Well, I want to jump right into what I consider one of the biggest and most important questions that I have to ask you, and it's why is social media so hard?
That's a great question, and I'll share a story. When I was working in corporate retail, I was a marketing director for an omnichannel retailer, and I was managing 16, maybe 17 different social media profiles, in addition to doing like 500 other things, as you know, we all wear many hats. Plus, I had my own social media. Plus, I was side hustling. So I had like my own social media business strategy. And I was spending a lot of time on the apps, Instagram, Facebook. And I had to because it was part of my job. So I couldn't just be like, oh, I'm not going to do this anymore. But one day I realized after spending, I don't know, 30, 40, maybe even an hour minutes on the platform, scrolling for who knows what, the dopamine hit that we sometimes get, I put my phone down and I thought, oh my God, that added nothing to my life. Like literally, that added nothing to my life. But we find ourselves picking the phone back up and opening the apps because sometimes we see a funny reel. Sometimes we see a meme that makes us laugh and is very relatable and helps us feel seen. Sometimes we get to see something that a friend did that, you know, makes us feel connected. So there's value in it, but because there's value in it, we tend to get like addicted. I mean, these apps are addicted. We all know they've done studies. They design them to keep you on them so that they can sell advertisements and make money. Like they're a business. And so in that moment, I realized I have to do something different. And I created at that time what I call the Stop the Scroll Challenge, which is a free 5-day challenge that basically allows you to like break the pattern of having to scroll all the time and being on the app and the addictiveness of it. And it involves using timers, setting app limits, and also having marketing strategies for your own business outside of social media. But as we talk about that, I know we're going to get into that today, even if we have marketing strategies outside of social media, people are still on social media. Our potential customers are on social media. And so we do have to find a way to leverage it in our business that doesn't make it feel like we're on this content hamster wheel, that doesn't feel like this huge time and energy suck where we're just throwing spaghetti at the wall and wondering, like, is this even working? What is the point?
Yeah, ultimately, exactly as you say, everyone who uses social media is a person. And a lot of us are just kind of, I call it doom scrolling when I do it personally. But for work, I have this persistent notion that it's just a nut I haven't cracked yet. But there is a way for it to, you know, become a powerful, you know, either driver of new business or to have a big enough audience that it becomes a resource I can use to promote things or that can help me be more appealing to like different guests or potential clients. What are some ways that you've seen that are kind of effective as a way for like a business owner to view social media? Like what boxes can and should it fit in within a business?
Well, the first thing I do with my clients is we take a step back, and before we even talk about social media, we break down the marketing funnel and we say, okay, what tools, what platforms, what strategies are we using to attract, nurture, and convert our audience? And I'm pretty certain that not one piece of content for sure, and not one platform can do all three. So we do have to have different strategies, different platforms, different containers for our marketing. And so it's important to decide and be intentional about where are we attracting? Well, from a social media perspective, the ways that you attract or get new eyes on your business is typically video content, because we know it gets shown to audiences that don't already follow us, hence that like attract new business, or paid ads. That's pretty much it. So if you're not doing one of those two things on social media, you are not using social media for the top of funnel. And that's okay. But being aware of that can help you understand, okay, where am I using social media and what am I using in those other places? So top of funnel could also be networking. It could be SEO and having content on your website that is highly relevant and searchable. It could be referrals from your current customers or your network. You know, there's a number of ways that you can, you know, appearing on other people's podcasts. All of those are ways. And so when we decide, okay, what are the strategies that I am going to do? How consistent do I need to be in those strategies? What is the intensity that I want to leverage? Now we can think about it a little bit more logically than the like emotion that sometimes comes in when we're trying to market our business. And so as we move down the funnel, nurture, this is where I think social media plays a big role. People getting to know you. What happens when somebody tells you about a business or a product or a service and recommends it? Well, you go look it up on the internet. Like that's what we do. That's what humans do now. And you might go to a website, or you might go to their social media profile, or you might go to both. And so your social media platform is an opportunity to help people get to know you. Learn if you're for them. Learn if they want to hear more from you, if they want to move down the funnel and deepen that relationship. And, you know, we can do that with social media content without constantly posting if we're really intentional about that content. Now, if the content we're putting up is like a picture of our dog and our last vacation, those things are all fine. But is that going to move the needle in your business? Is that going to help people move down the funnel and get to know you quickly? Because we also know that people's attention spans are so short. So if we don't have the right intentional strategic content there for them to consume quickly and easily, we could be leaving money on the table. And I love this example for hairstylists. I was looking for a hairstylist recently and asked for some referrals in a Facebook group of local people. I mean, I got literally 20 recommendations, and me being the like nerd I am, I made a spreadsheet of all of them and like put in their address and how close they are to me and what they specialize in. But then I started looking up their social media because I want to know more about them as people, because let's be honest, your hairdresser, like I see my hairdresser more often than most of my friends. I would like to like this person, but then also the work that they do. And the people that were not posting on social media or hadn't posted in a really long time, or their content wasn't really relevant, I moved on. I didn't even continue to go down the rabbit hole of researching those people. And that's what can happen if we're not leveraging social media intentionally. And again, as we move down the funnel into the convert phase, where we're asking people to maybe join our email list, or we're asking people for even a sale and to purchase something, social media can do that, but we don't want to be like that person who asks you to marry them on the first date, because that's what like selling in every single post is. It's like, buy my thing, buy my thing, buy my thing. Okay, we get it. We know that you sell a thing. So we want to make sure that we're nurturing and selling in social media so that the relationship feels good versus the like, I only want you to buy the thing from me. And then there are other ways that we can sell outside of social media: email marketing, direct outreach, great calls to action on our website. But having all of those things kind of figured out, then you as a business owner can decide where and how social media is going to work for you, because it doesn't have to be the same as everybody else or anybody else. You want to find a strategy that feels good and fits for your bandwidth, your personality and your business goals.
I love what you, especially about kind of the intentionality of approaching social media in this way, because I'm probably not the only person or business owner who's had this experience where creating the content to go on Instagram or up on Facebook, it becomes just such a part of the job. I don't know if anyone is even actually thinking about doing it. And, you know, I'm as guilty of this as anyone else. We put a lot more effort into like stuff that we create for clients, but for our own stuff, I'm just like, well, it's got to go out. Let's just do it. And there's not a lot of thought involved. How do you approach it intentionally when it's such a consistent, ongoing thing that just seems to never stop and there's no end? How do you kind of keep that presence of mind to try and make sure every post is really serving a function?
Yeah. Well, the first reminder that I want to share with everybody, and I share this actually at the end of every episode of my podcast, is consistent does not have to mean constant.
Love that.
Right? So if we can level set with that reminder, we don't have to be constantly posting. And in fact, most business owners I know did not start their business to be a content creator. Like, they started their business to help people. They started their business to serve. They have a passion for what they do. If you started your business to be a content creator, okay, that's a different conversation, but most people did not. And so that's why I love the Instagram 9-grid strategy. And what that is a visual content strategy that turns your Instagram profile into a mini website or like a magazine cover or billboard for your business. And the crazy thing is, most people who could benefit from this strategy don't know what it is. They're like, huh? What's a 9-grid? Like, I tell people all the time, oh, I'm a fractional CMO. I've become known for the Instagram 9-grid strategy. And people are like, what is that? So we call it a 9-grid because it is the first 9 posts on your Instagram grid. I'm extra. I typically do 12, sometimes even 15 because I like to do a little more, but you want to do at least 9. And in those 9 posts, you're going to share who you are, who you help, how you help them, the transformation that they can receive when working with you, your free resources if you have any, or where else you hang out if you have a podcast, or maybe you're a LinkedIn person and you spend more time over there, or you're a Facebook person, or you hang out in stories. You let people know that in the posts. You tell them about your offers and what it is that you actually sell and how they can work with you. And then we weave in your brand values and your mission and your vision so that they really know, oh yeah, this person is for me. We have a connection here and it's not all about business. And once we put those 9 posts up, this is truly a set it and forget it strategy. And what that means is you don't post anymore. And people are like, wait, what? You don't post anymore, but what about the algorithm? Okay, y'all, the algorithm, like, is the algorithm doing you any favors right now? No. So who cares? Who cares about the algorithm? Get the intentional content up. And then as people find you and we work through those other strategies in the funnel that we've already mapped out, your Instagram is there being intentional and sharing exactly what someone needs to know to decide whether or not you are for them. And you don't have to think about posting anymore.
So I love this. And I think I remember when the first time we talked, this was the last stuff you need to do on this platform. And that's such an exciting idea because it feels like there's this huge opportunity cost or this huge risk for not being out there and being active. But as you have so well explained, if you're not active there, you're not active there, and you might as well have the information someone needs if they happen to be active there. Because most of us aren't active on just one platform, right? You know, we do other places. I love this concept. I love this idea. I love how efficient it is. You talked a little bit about some things that are included. Do you have maybe any examples of like particular posts that can fit well in a 9-grid? What's some cool stuff that you've seen?
Yeah, for sure. The first thing I actually want to share is that as you design a 9-grid, and I do have some tools on my website that helps you with this, that gets deeper into it because we definitely can't cover it all in a podcast. But as you design the grid, keep in mind that when you start to post it, okay, the last post, post number 9, bottom right-hand corner, is actually what you post first because it loads backwards. So what I see a lot of people do is they will write that post, post number 9, as the introduction post because they know that they're posting it first. But when people come to your profile, that's the last thing that they're looking at. So we really want our intro post, hi, I'm so-and-so, this is what I do, to be the top right, left-hand corner or the ninth or last post that you post. And so that shift in and of itself can help you think about what we really want these nine squares to be is a journey. We want someone to see immediately, oh, this is who you are. Okay, now post number two, it's often great to share a free resource here. You know, this is how I can help you. Here's a free resource. Or maybe if you're a podcast host, this might be listen to such and such podcast because I'm going to be over here. I actually love the nine grid for podcasters because so many podcasters, we will post clips from our podcast, whether it's an audiogram or actually videos from the show in reels. But then somebody lands on your profile and it's just a bunch of photos of talking heads. And like, that's not super compelling for somebody who doesn't already know who you are and is checking you out and checking out your podcast. So what you can do is have one of these posts be about your podcast, what it's about, who you, you know, talk to, what topics you cover. And then you can have a like, get previews of the show over on our Reels tab. And the thing is, you can keep posting reels with a nine grid and then you just remove them from the grid. So they only live on that Reels tab, but then your magazine cover is still on the main profile, the main tab, sharing all that super important information that maybe isn't being covered in every single clip because you're only pulling out 60 seconds or 30 seconds of each podcast. So I love that for podcasters. And then typically we want to also make sure in one of the very first posts that we're sharing how we help people. What is the transformation that people can expect when they work with us? And kind of painting that picture of before and after. And at this point, we can go ahead and mention an offer, or we can just kind of continue down the path of the grid. And typically then that hero post, so let's say the middle of the grid, the one that like when you're looking at it in a whole thing, you're looking at someone's profile, that's going to be your main selling post. So that's going to be like a how we can work together, what I can do to help you. And then some of the other posts just kind of share, you know, opinions or values or educational content kind of sprinkled in throughout there.
That is so fun. I just love this strategy. It feels like to me, it takes really advantage of some of the best things about social media, especially on Instagram, where people do so often use it for shopping and as they're making these kind of buying decisions. Do you find when people are using the nine grid, where in the funnel is that usually landing? Is it being nurturing? Is it top of funnel? Where do you see that play out?
It's typically mid to bottom of funnel. And I love the invention of ManyChat because then we can automate that conversion or that like moving people down the funnel with keywords and automation. And even if you don't use ManyChat, you can always use your call to actions being, hey, link in bio to get this thing. And then that moves people down the funnel. But if you use a tool like ManyChat, you can use the keyword strategy of comment below such and such, you'll get such and such. And the thing about ManyChat, I remember the first time I tested it out, I thought, well, I don't have people comment enough to like pay for this tool. Like, I don't really need to automate it, do I? Well, then what I found is that people were commenting, they were asking for the tool, and I was missing it. Because a lot of times those DMs go into like this secret folder of like messages you need to approve because they're not somebody you already know. And so I realized, okay, even if I'm getting like one or two keywords a month, if I'm not missing them, I'm at least moving that person down the funnel. And so I did decide to invest in the paid version of it. You can do the free version and it just people have to DM you instead of comment below is the main difference between that. But I find, and I have other visibility strategies in place to get people to my Instagram, but I get, you know, 5 to 10 opt-ins a month through ManyChat, and I don't have to be on the platform responding to people. I can truly set it and forget it. And this tool is working behind the scenes for me to send people the links to my products or my free offers when they engage with my content.
What is ManyChat?
Yeah. So if you're not familiar with ManyChat, it is a automated messaging platform. And you might see people using this strategy on Instagram. Well, they say like, comment, decide. That's one of my keywords. Comment, decide. And I'll send you the decision guide of whether or not you should use a nine grid. Or comment recipe. And I'll send you the link for the recipe. And it's an automated AI tool that you set up workflows of like, here's my Instagram, here's the keyword, here's the message I want you to send, and the link that I want you to share. And there's a lot more you can do with it from there, but that's kind of the basics. And it moves someone into your funnel by sending them that link. And we know people are busy, people have 8,000 things to look at, and people can be lazy. And so while go to the link in my bio works, that's like an extra step for people where comment below this one word and I'll send you the thing that you want. Oh, okay, that's easy. That's faster. Or what happens for a lot of times is somebody is like, I want to look at this later. So send me the link and then I've got it so I can look at it when I have time.
It never occurred to me that that was an AI or that was an auto-assisted tool. I didn't know that because I've seen that strategy all the time. But
yeah, there's one account that I follow. Her name is Colleen Nichols, and she runs direct sales. It's DSGC. I can't remember what it stands for. But anyway, I love what she says. My little AI robot friend will send you the link. Like, she's not hiding the fact that this is automated and she's not doing it, but she's able to continue to follow up with people and give them kind of that instant access to the thing that they want or need without having to be on the platform 24/7.
I love that. In your experience in the companies that you've worked with, setting up these 9 grids, working on other social media strategy, are there particular types of businesses or industries that a 9 grid will work really well for? Or is it more just on the personal entrepreneur, social media manager level that choice should be made?
Yeah. Let me share the accounts that I think it won't work for, because there's really also about two. There's two that I think it won't work for. Pretty much everybody else, this can work. So number one is a product-based business that regularly has new arrivals. So if you are a retail business and you're constantly bringing in new product, you need to be active and posting regularly because we want to show people the freshness and the newness of the products. Now, if you're a product-based business that does like a quarterly or a seasonal collection, we can totally still leverage a 9 grid because we can post it and refresh it every 3-6 months, whatever. But if you're regularly getting new stuff, you have hundreds of SKUs, we probably don't want to use a 9 grid. The other time is if you have not yet solidified and clarified your messaging. And the reason I say that is because creating content, even if it's bad content, helps you work through those things. So if you haven't decided exactly what your offer suite is, you're testing new offers, you don't know exactly who your ideal client is, you're trying to figure it out, you're not really sure what problem you solve or the language to use to talk about that, I would encourage you to keep creating content, because I don't want you to spend 10, 15, 20 hours creating a 9 grid when we're going to have to change it pretty soon after you kind of like get to that next step in the decision-making process of clarifying your branding and your messaging. I always tell my clients, like, bad content, okay content is better than no content, because the more you work through it, the better you're going to get. And a lot of times what I find for business owners who want to outsource or thinking about hiring a social media manager or a copywriter, you have to get all that stuff out of your head and on paper, mm-hmm. because they cannot read your mind. And creating content helps get that stuff out of your head and on paper. Now, a professional can absolutely then come in and help you refine it and use best practices and different strategies to make it more appealing, convert at a better, higher rate, clearer. But if you're not clear yet, keep creating so that you can get clear, and then you can have somebody help you either keep posting or create that 9 grid.
I love it. I absolutely love it. So you fixed Instagram for us. That's solved. Problem eliminated. Fantastic.
Check.
What about
Done.
The other platforms? Are there equivalents on other platforms, or is this kind of an Instagram-specific strategy?
It is an Instagram-specific strategy, but what I like to do when I create the 9 grids for my clients is you can design the graphic or the visual in a couple of different ways. What you always want to do with a 9 grid is make it cohesive. So you want, when someone lands on your profile, to truly see and clearly see, oh, all of this stuff is connected. It goes together. And one way of doing that is that sometimes like a photo or a word or a visual element will carry over from post to post. So they're truly connected and it looks like a puzzle. But I like to make sure that each one of those posts, even if there's a little carryover from one square to the next, that it can stand alone, because then you can repurpose those standalone posts onto Facebook or LinkedIn. And Facebook and LinkedIn don't require the frequency of posting that Instagram does. And so, and quite honestly, both of those, because there is not a visual grid, you could post one post and 4 weeks later post the same post again, and nobody's going to know. So you can repurpose that content onto other social media platforms. I even have clients who use the copy that we write for some of those posts and turn them into emails, because they're like, this tells a story, or this highlights a, you know, polarizing opinion that I have and is going to start conversation. And I'll just take this whole post and turn it into an email. And so then you're able to use that content smarter so that you get more bang for your buck and you get more out of those words that you've written.
Excellent suggestions. And Ruthie, you had me when you talked about your spreadsheet for the different hairstylists and all that information. So I'm completely sold. Anybody listening needs a 9-grid, needs to learn more about fractional CMOs, get some support. Where do they find you? What's the best way to connect?
Yeah, you can learn more at theconsistencycorner.com about all the services we offer, including the tools and resources we have to support you with 9-grids. We've got templates, we've got planning guides, and then we also have the done-for-you offer. And if you want to see a 9-grid in action, check out my Instagram at theconsistencycorner. You can see one right there, and you can DM me any questions that you may have, because it really is such an amazing time-saving concept and tool. And the thing is that we can use it in so many different ways. And so if you're like, I don't really know how this is going to be best for my business, like, let's just have a conversation. I can brainstorm with you and we can figure out the right way to leverage this strategy so that you can like step away from social media and not sacrifice your visibility.
Thank you for solving Instagram. And thank you for joining me today.
Yes, thanks for having me. This was great.
I got so much out of that conversation, and if you're not wild about spending a lot of time or investing a lot of your resources in Instagram, then Ruthie's 9-grid strategy is something to seriously consider. Check it out. The links are in the show notes, and if you do end up using a 9-grid, I would love to see it. You can let me know by any contact form on onestonecreative.net, or if you do want to reach out on Instagram, we're at OSC Podcasting. Next week, I have a call with Nikki Rausch, the sales maven, for you, and she is so unbelievably generous with her time and knowledge and the many different ways that she has integrated a podcast into her business. She guests, has different formats for different purposes, and even uses her show as a perk for members of her community. I learned so much talking to her, got so many great ideas, and really love the way she has so carefully designed a show and different episode formats to be doing different things within her business. Here's just one of the multiple ways that Nikki is leveraging the show.
Well, the first thing I decided is I needed to know what was my outcome in having a podcast, besides just like putting my message out there. Like, what did I want the podcast to do? Because it costs money to have a podcast. Yeah. So I wanted to see a return on my investment. So I specifically decided that I was going to use my podcast to drive people to my group coaching program, which is the Sales Maven Society. So everything in the initial part of the podcast when I launched, the goal was that it would give people a taste of what it was like to coach with me, mm-hmm. and kind of my messaging, to see if my message resonated with them. And then the next logical step would be to come join the society.
So make sure you're subscribed to The Company Show so you don't miss the full episode next week. Now, before I close off for this episode, I do want to remind you that applications for speakers for the Podcasting for Business Conference this year are currently open. If you've got a skill, strategy, or technique that can help business owners with their podcasts, I want to hear about it. Go to pfbcon.com/apply to get all the details. That's pfbcon.com/apply. Applications are going to be open until July 29th. As always, I've been your host, Megan Doherty, and The Company Show was created by the whole team at One Stone Creative. Until next time.